Why the biggest bank wants to try WFO, working from office. I'm David Brancaccio. The low-key people with much power over our livelihoods start a two-day meeting today. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell and team are battling this historic economic downturn. Nancy Marshall-Genzer's in Washington. What's on the plate?
Well, David, this is a meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. It sets interest rates, but it's not expected to change rates at this meeting. At the press conference tomorrow, Powell will probably talk a little more about the Fed's new policy framework. Part of that involves aiming for an average of 2% inflation. The Fed says it'll let inflation get a bit over 2% if it's been lower than that for a while.
What's that do for us?
Well, the thinking used to be if unemployment gets too low, inflation will rise as workers demand higher wages. But that hasn't happened this time around. The Fed took a closer look at the unemployment rate. It found the Black and Hispanic jobless rate stayed stubbornly high. But even when it finally did fall and even hit record lows, inflation didn't start creeping up.
Lower interest rates longer hurt many savers, but fuel the stock market. And the Fed will do some forecasting here?
It will. The Fed releases economic projections four times a year for things like inflation, interest rates, and economic growth. We'll get the Fed's latest forecast tomorrow, and it will update its last projections from June, which turned out to be too pessimistic on unemployment. The Fed projected a jobless rate of over 9%, but unemployment fell to 8.4% last month.
All right. Nancy's our Fed maven here. Thank you very much. Retail sales data and factory production in the second biggest economy in the world, China, came out today higher than expected. European stocks are up. And here the Nasdaq future is up 0.9%. The S&P future is up 0.6%. Dow future as well. The biggest of banks is learning its people are not as productive working from home, especially younger staffers, especially on Mondays and Fridays. Bloomberg News was privy to an outside analysis done for JP Morgan Chase. That bank is having traders and salespeople return to the office starting on Monday. Fast track the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID-19. Now to a doctor who was on the team in South Asia that helped rid the world of a terrible disease. Larry Brilliant is an epidemiologist and CEO of Pan Defense Advisory, a network of experts who know how to fight a pandemic. Dr. Brilliant, greetings.
Hello, David. Nice to talk to you again.
You were there on the ground getting rid of smallpox. You had a vaccine then. It was the challenge of delivery. If we do get a vaccine here, can we pull off this challenge of getting it to people?
Yes. I'm confident we can. Bear in mind, it has to be a vaccination campaign in 220 countries at virtually the same time, coordinated. That means we're looking at tens of millions of vaccinators, millions of vehicles, and the coordination of that massive army. It will be the largest peacetime army ever assembled, if we count all the countries. Unless we conquer it everywhere, we're not conquering it anywhere.
Since you've seen it in action, fighting smallpox in South Asia, fighting polio, give us a more vivid picture of this. One imagines a load of vaccine being picked up at some production facility in an industrialized country, getting to an airport somewhere in the world, and then people line up for their shots. The reality on the ground is vastly more complicated.
It is. And the first step is, of course, to make the right vaccine, one that will work for a global program. And that would be a vaccine, one dose with a long period of immunity. Once you get that vaccine, you want it manufactured all over the world. The largest manufacturing facility for vaccines in the world is actually in Pune, India. And I think it's something like two-thirds of all the children in the world have had a vaccine from that place. Once it gets into every country, then you're really thinking about this army that I mentioned. Globally, tens of millions of vaccinators. The polio eradication program in India had over 5 million people working in it. These are vast programs, and they're so complex that the idea that we would leave the World Health Organization in the middle of a pandemic will turn out to be one of history's gravest errors, I'm afraid.
You know, it's also necessary for this vast distribution program is money. I mean, even in the United States, there's a question of that. Roy Blunt, the senator from Missouri, just wrote the CDC wanting more information about what their plans are for distribution. And he was specifically worried in this letter about the administration earmarking enough money to get it done.
It's the best investment in the world. It took $150 million in 1965 dollars to eradicate smallpox from the planet. And every year we get the benefit of billions of dollars of not having smallpox and not having those little yellow cards. We're already spending trillions of dollars in dealing with the after effects of this disease. Billions of dollars that get you trillions of dollars is a good investment for any investor.
Speaking from Northern California, Larry Brilliant is an epidemiologist and CEO of Pan Defense Advisory. Dr. Brilliant, thank you.
David, thank you for having me.
And just so it doesn't nag at you all day, Bihar is in the very northern part of India near the Nepalese border. As for what he calls the right vaccine for the world, we'll drill down on that later this week, or marketplace.org if you miss it on the air. Also, Dr. Brilliant has led a sometimes picaresque life with a stint as team doctor for the Grateful Dead. His memoir from 4 years ago makes for, I think, uplifting pandemic reading, by the way. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.